Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, next month is November, and next month on November 11th is a special day in the life of our country, which we call what? Veterans Day. Very good. And on Veterans Day, we remember veterans who fought for freedom. Very good. Similarly, today is Reformation Day. And we too might remember all the reformers who fought for freedom. So it's good to think of Martin Luther or Philip Melanchthon or Justice Jonas or John the Steadfast or Frederick the Wise or Derek Roberts. Just seeing if you're still awake. Martin Chemnitz, very good, the second Martin. All these great reformers who fought for freedom. What freedoms did the Reformation accomplish? What freedoms did the reformers fight for? Well, if you merely think that the only freedom they fought for was for priests to marry, you'd be wrong. It wasn't just so that priests could marry. That wasn't the whole battle hymn, and that's not what inspired the Reformation. That was just a side effect, one little freedom amongst many freedoms. Certainly there were greater freedoms than these. Freedoms worth knowing. Freedoms worth treasuring up in your heart. Freedoms worth rehearing, recalling, renewing, and retelling. The first and the most important freedom of the Reformation concerned the freedom of God's Word. Jesus said in our Gospel, verse 31, if you abide in my Word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In this regard, the Reformation freedom wasn't accomplished in 1517 when Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. It wasn't accomplished then. That was just a side effect, if you will, from abiding in God's Word. And it wasn't accomplished in 1521 when Luther stood before the Diet of Worms and declared, unless I am convinced by scriptures and clear reason, for popes and councils have erred and often contradicted themselves, my conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Reformation freedom wasn't accomplished by Luther in 1521. Nor was Reformation freedom accomplished in 1530, when the German princes and electors stood before Emperor Charles V at the Diet of Augsburg and stretched out their necks and said, we'd rather give up our heads than give up the confession of faith that we've come to know and believe to be absolutely true. No, friends, freedom was accomplished not in any one of these times, but rather it was accomplished 2,000 years ago when Jesus spoke his word of his deformation. When he spoke about the deformation of his body, he forecasted his own death for sinners and told about his resurrection from the dead, his return to life on Easter Sunday. To talk about Good Friday and Easter Sunday is to talk about the freedom of the Reformation, the freedom that Christ alone accomplishes for you, for me, for sinners, all of us, because of his grace and mercy. To show us that we would be free from death's sting by believing in Christ. And that freedom comes at a price. Christ, not ours. Why? Because of grace. Because God, the God of Scriptures, is a God full of mercy and compassion for sinners. A God full of grace. Grace, Christ's rewards, or God's rewards at Christ's expense, you might say. Christ paid the price for our sins. Christ alone is our Redeemer. Christ alone is our everything. If the children's message made very clear. Christ is the reason we have faith. Christ is the reason we have heaven, eternal life. Christ, Christ, Christ. And such grace is communicated to us by the Word. And by the sacraments being preached over and given out over and over again, this is the way in which we know that we are forgiven and that we have freedom from sin, freedom from death, freedom from the power of the devil. We have reformation freedom so that we may know God as He truly is, a God full of grace and compassion, holy and gracious. And that not because we know God through the corrupt ways in which man has reformed in the negative way God's truth, or reshaped God into man's image. In this way, Mark Twain was right when Mark Twain said, God created man in His own image, and then man, being a gentleman, returned the favor. God Himself alone accomplished our freedom from sin, but it seems that that message, somewhere along the line, got lost in translation. Luther really didn't set us free from anything. All he did was help re-free the Word so it could speak unhindered. Free from papal bull honky. Free from conciliar error, from councils that err. Especially in regards to the doctrine upon which the church stands or falls, the doctrine of justification, that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone, all because of His merits, not ours, but His. By His blood we are set free, apart from works of the law. And from such truth of God's Word flows a multitude of freedoms. Like freedom from the error of thinking that you could purchase pardon from sin from your own purse and be assured of it by a piece of paper from the Pope, an indulgence. Say that 5 times fast, by the way. No, Christ is our payment. Christ is our assurance. If you abide in My Word, you will know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Look to Christ, and it's yours. Don't look to your purse. It's not yours from your purse. Look to Christ. Christ alone is your salvation. Christ paid the price for your redemption. Christ. Who is Luther? Who is the Pope? Was Luther crucified for you? Was the Pope crucified for you? Christ Jesus. He alone is our salvation. Or freedom to have the Lord's Supper in two kinds, rather than in one kind. Sounds a little silly to us today. We always have the Lord's Supper. We have both the bread, the body, and the wine, the blood. But imagine in Luther's day, when you came to church, you only received communion in one kind, the bread, the body. Why? Because over time they were scared that lay people couldn't handle it rightly and that you'd spill it on the ground. Oh, no, we'd spill it on the ground. Oh, my dear, what are we going to do? Luther patiently, pastorally restored the practice to God's Word. What did Jesus say? This is My body. Take and eat. This is given for you. Take and drink. This is My blood which is shed for you. Take and drink, all of you. He didn't say just some of you, just the priest, please, only just the priest, not the lay people. No, He said, take and drink, all of you. This is My blood which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. But the Word, He says, this is My body, this is My blood, it's for you. And if you abide in God's Word, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Or freedom to know God's Word in your own language. Or freedom to marry, for God has not forbidden it. Or freedom to serve God right here in this sinful world, and not be locked up in a holy convent or a holy monastery, thinking that you'll be unstained from sin if you go there. If we were truly trying to please God according to works and not by grace through faith, then we better climb all the way where? Up to heaven, because that's the only place where sin doesn't exist. If you're a little worried about how much sin's in the workplace that you go where you work, or sin in the school, oh no, there's a lot of sinners at school, there's a lot of sin, I hear of this, I hear of drugs, I hear of prostitution, I hear of everything. If you think that, just learn a little lesson from Luther and from Katie von Bora. If you think that there's less sin in the convent or less sin in the monastery, then you've got another thing coming. We are all sinners, all of us. And everywhere there is people, there is sin. But wherever there is Christ, there is freedom, salvation, sainthood, if you will, because what he has come to do. Jesus talks about this in our text, verse 34, when he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, anyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." And as we've learned in Bible study on Wednesday night in the last 8 weeks or so, that all of us, all people, are bound to sin. We're bound to do it, and we're bound to it, if you will. We're bound to sin because that's our human nature. We're born in sin. We grow up in sin. We sin. That's what you expect from an apple tree that sins. It's going to produce sin, produce apples, if you will. That's who we are. We're by nature sinners. We sin. We can't make it go away by our own works and satisfactions. We can't be set free apart from one who comes and sets us free, or else we are completely doomed. And that's the good news of the Reformation, clearly found in God's freeing and reforming word. Verse 35, the slave does not remain in the house forever. He can't work his way out, right, can he? He can't free himself. He's bound. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The Reformation was not about freedom from the church. It was freedom to be the church. Not freedom from authority, but freedom from all things corruptible except God's word as our source of doctrine and life. Not freedom to do no good work, but freedom to believe as the Bible teaches. There is no good work apart from Christ, who declares us good when he makes our dead trees alive, that good fruits of faith and love flow from our branches. Apart from the vine, we can do nothing. United to the vine, being grafted onto the vine by his powerful word that bespeaks us righteous, then good works flow from us, do they not? It's hard for us to see sometimes. We're in Christ. We have faith in Christ. We have good works. The Reformation was accused of not teaching good works. Far be it. They just got the cart before the horse. First, you make the tree alive through Christ, and good works truly do flow. There is no good work apart from Christ that declares us to be good and reforms us, if you will, and his Spirit indwells in us that we might walk in his ways just as we are by his Spirit set free. So on Reformation Day, it's good to remember those who fought the good fight of the Reformation, who fought for freedom for the church, even to thank God for them. But in truth, they really only dusted off a precious jewel that was already there. An eternal gospel to be forever proclaimed to those who dwell on earth. For princes, for paupers, for popes, and even for pedophiles. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Christ, the Son, sets you free. You are free. Go in peace. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in the one who has set you free, Christ Jesus. Amen.